Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and this week I have the editors from American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine. They're going to talk to you about tips and tricks and things that are going on at the magazine. They've taped the episodes at their studio in Des Moines, Iowa. So I know you're going to enjoy this show a lot. Let's take a listen.
Hi, and welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting's podcast. I'm Linda Augsburg, the editorial content chief for the Crafts Group, and I am so excited to be here with Jody Sanders, the editor of Quilts & More. So the winter issue of Quilts & More 2014 goes on sale November 4th, right, Jody?
That's right.
And I know we've had so much fun looking at the projects for this issue and choosing favorites and choosing what we're going to make. And you have just packed so many projects in there. Let's talk about some of them.
Well, in our winter issue, we try and have a lot of options for people to make gifts. Things that you can make on a weekend or on a weeknight when you get home from work. Maybe you just need to pull together a quick gift for a teacher or some kind of a group that you're in. And so we have tried to find a lot of things that people could make kind of last minute. And actually, there are things that you could make multiples of. I know that's one thing that I like to do. The year I learned to make beaded jewelry, everybody got a bracelet. The year I learned to knit, everybody got a scarf. So sometimes I'm on the lookout for that one thing that I can make multiples of. And I think in this issue, we have several things that kind of fit that bill.
Right. And a lot of them can be personalized to fit the recipient, but, you know, really are quick to make. You can kind of make them streamlined so you've got a lot of them done in a short period of time.
That's right. Should we go ahead and talk about the quilts on our cover or the projects on the cover so
yes,
they know what they're looking
there.
For?
Exactly.
When you go to Newsstand, and again, as Linda mentioned, November 4th is the date that you'll find this on Newsstand. And what you're going to want to be looking for is a cover that has a great main image of what we're calling on the plus side. It's a quilt by designer Pat Bravo of Art Gallery Fabrics, and the motif in it is a pieced plus sign, and they're fabrics that Pat designs for Art Gallery Fabrics, and then it's also prints in the main motif of the plus, and then they're solids in the background.
Yes.
And those plus signs just kind of pop off those solid background, and it's just really a beautiful, dynamic, very colorful quilt.
It really is, and it's a fun project because it's got that scrappy look in the plus signs, so but you're strip piecing it, so it's not quite as much to cut each piece. You're not sewing little square to little square. You're doing it in more of a strip piecing method.
That's right. It's kind of a stream, like you said, a streamlined way of doing it. Chain piecing, those strip sets really make it a quick project to do. It looks a little more difficult maybe than it really is, but it really is not a hard quilt to put together.
No, I think the trick to that one is just making sure you get the color placement kind of the way you want to really get that maximum impact.
That's right. Another great project we have on the cover, we know that hand stitching and embroidery is really popular right now. People like to have projects that they can take on the go. So if they're sitting at a doctor's office or waiting for a medical appointment or waiting for kids to maybe get out of an athletic practice, these great little take-along projects are things that people are really enjoying right now. And we have one that is, we're calling it Snow Buddies, and it is blue and white. They're ornamental. Snowman motif, and the designer is Robin Kingsley of Bird Braid Designs. And the great thing about these, they could be used as ornaments. We kind of took some clothespins and attached them to a ribbon with some ornaments and kind of made it almost like a banner. So if you wanted to put it across a fireplace hearth or a doorway, they're really versatile. You could use these in a lot of different ways.
Well, and what I love about them is that they're not necessarily focused on being Christmassy, so really they're the perfect thing to put up in January when, you know, you take down all the decorations and the house just looks a little plain. So having those up there would be a great, like I said, across a doorway or a mantle, kind of adds some winter to your house, which I love.
Right. And Robin is putting together kits for these so that you get the pearl cotton, which you do the embroidery with. You get the fabrics. You get a needle so that you have the right needle to do the work that you need to do. It's a great little kit that Robin's putting all together. And the other thing you could do with these, since they're embroidery, you could put them even on like a tea towel and have that out also. So
yep.
It's a very versatile design and very versatile project, I think.
It really is.
We've also got, you know, have you seen those plastic tape measures that you can buy at like the big Notions wall at your big box store? Or they're the little circular ones. It's a retractable tape measure, has a little button on the side. You know which ones I'm talking about?
I do. I have a couple of them. I usually keep them in my purse.
Well, and sometimes you get them at shows and that kind of thing with some advertising on them. Well, designer Sherry Falls of This and That Patterns had a great idea to just personalize these a little bit. And she has three different designs where she's covered these tape measures.
What a great idea.
And it's kind of a level of difficulty. One of them is just a plain fabric, so you can just take any design or fabric that you like, motif, and center that on the outside of the plastic tape measure, and we show you how to do that. There's another version where it uses a couple circles and some leaves, and it has a little cherry motif. And those are both made of cotton. And then Sherry also did a design that's made of wool. So if you want to try wool out, you don't have to worry about fraying or anything of the size with wool. And it's got a few more stitches in it. So that's probably what we would say is maybe the most difficult one. None of them are really difficult, and certainly they could be done in an evening. But it's just kind of three different levels of how much you want to add to the top of your tape measure cover. But it was such a cute idea, and we think people are really going to enjoy that.
They really are. And that's even a great gift that you can make ahead of time for not just for the holidays, but for anybody who's a sewer in your life who likes to, you know, sew along with you, one of your sewing buddies. It's a great pass-along gift just to have for, you know, a little add-on for their birthday present or, you know, even Valentine's Day.
Yeah. The last project that we have on our cover is a sewing station caddy, and we're calling it Sew in Style, and it's from Monica Solorio Snow from Happy Zombie. And Monica has this great line of fabric called Sew Yummy Out with Cloud Nine Fabrics.
So cute.
And it's just really cute. If you're familiar with Monica's style, it's whimsical, it's very fun, it's kind of sewing centered motifs, and so you'll see things like pins and seam rippers, floss wrapped on cards, but it's a very cute and whimsical design. And Monica put together a little sewing machine station caddy thing that you can put down by your sewing machine. It has pockets in it, and you can put your scissors and your ruler and your seam ripper and other things that you might need. But it's also portable. So when you're done and you need to leave and go somewhere else, and maybe you're going to a retreat or something, you can actually fold it up and roll it up and take it along with you.
That's wonderful. I think that's another one of those great gifts for the sewing enthusiast in your life.
We are wrapping up our Welcome Home series for 2014. Each of the issues in 2014, we've had a door hanger from Kim Christofferson of Kimberbell Designs. And this is the wrap-up of that. It's our winter issue, so we've got a snowman. And this is something that can span the season. So as you mentioned earlier about the blue embroidery snowmen that we had, we feel like this door hanger also goes beyond just the holiday or Christmas season. It goes on through the winter. So we've got a snowman that's got cute cardinals and a little birdhouse on it, and we know that people are just going to love this final version of the four-part series that Kim did.
It's been such a fun series, too. I know a lot of people have been making those and posting them and sharing them online, too. So that's been fun to see.
We know that in a lot of places in the country, it gets cold in the winter. And where we're based in the Midwest, we definitely have that issue. And so we're always looking for cute scarves, mittens, outdoor wear. And we have a terrific duo that is a scarf and mitten duo made out of cuddle fabric from Shannon Fabrics.
So soft.
And it's kind of really on trend. It has a zebra print. So we've got the animal print. It's gray, which we know is really popular with people right now. And so we've got a combination mitten and scarf duo. It's super soft. When it came into the office, we all put the mittens on. It was July, actually, when the mittens came in, and it was really hot here. But everybody had fun trying on the mittens and scarf. And it's a really quick project. Again, one that you could make multiples of.
Yeah, it's on my Christmas list for a few of my good friends.
One of the things that is also something that we've been doing and continuing to do in Quilts and More is our Scrap Lab project. And we have designers Patty Young from Mod Kid Boutique and Carrie Nelson of Miss Rosie's Quilt Co. And there are contributing designers. And then this issue's contributing designer is Allison Harris of Cluck Cluck Sew. And Allison has a really cute collection called Oh Clementine from Wyndham Fabrics. And so our three designers were given a fat quarter bundle of those fabrics to work with and do whatever they wanted. Patty came up with an apron. Kiri made a quilt. She actually had enough pieces and used pretty much every piece that she had in the bundle to make her quilt.
Amazing.
And then our final project from Allison was a table runner. And Allison's project is actually an exclusive that we have online. So you can go and get that, download that. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. So be sure and check that out.
I love those fabrics. And to see the three different looks is really a lot of fun. So let's take a break and we'll be back with more from Jody. So stay tuned with us.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration. This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. To save time, Rotary cuts several layers of fabric at once. To prepare a stack for cutting, steam press one fabric, place the second fabric on top of it, and press again, repeating until you have stacked as many fabrics as you feel comfortable cutting at once. Ironing the fabrics together with steam helps them kind of cling to each other, resulting in more precise pieces.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 million pillowcase challenge. We're counting on you.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ Magazine to join the fun.
Hi, and welcome back. So, Jody, now we were looking at, there was a panel, a fun panel of fabric that we did something with. Tell me about that.
We, at the International Quilt Market that's held every fall and every spring for industry folks, we get an opportunity to see different fabrics from different manufacturers. And we saw a really great collection at the spring quilt market, and it was by Adorn It. And it had adorable snowflakes and snowmen and winter motif, but not necessarily Christmas. So again, for us, since we're spanning the winter season, it really appealed to us. So we were able to find this great collection of fabrics that included in the collection a panel that had a lot of different motifs in it. There were banners or pennants. There were zigzags. There were snowmen. There were sayings. We just thought it was a really great panel, and we were trying to think, what could we do with that panel in addition to the other fabrics that were great fabrics in the collection?
Right.
So we got the panel, and we brought it back to the office, and we had one of our designers work on some projects, and she just came up with some terrific projects using the panel and then also other project or other fabrics in the collection. So it's not just the panel that's used, but sometimes you look at those panels and you don't know what to do with them.
Right.
You just see a lot of motifs in it, and if you don't know how to cut them apart and you're not sure how to add maybe some borders or sashing to them, sometimes they can be overwhelming. So what we wanted to do was show people how easy it is to cut those parts and pieces apart and to incorporate them into all different kinds of projects. So one of the things we did is we cut apart some of with a fabric and used it to decorate some packages.
It's so
cute. Instead of just using paper or ribbon, we've incorporated some fabric into some decorating and wrapping of presents, which we think is a really fun way to do that.
Absolutely.
We also have a coffee koozie kind of thing where you can wrap around your coffee cup if your coffee cup is too hot. This is kind of a way to protect your fingers. And you also can make this reversible. So the way that we've designed it, it has elastic in it that connects the two ends. And so you could do winter on one side, and if you wanted to have maybe a springier motif on the other, you could just turn it inside out, which I think is a great benefit to this particular design.
Such a fun idea.
Then we also cut apart some of the motifs that had words on them and created some hot pads. Again, just looking at the design element itself and using that as your template. So you don't necessarily have to have a circle template or a square or whatever design you're using. You can actually look at the fabric and use that as your guide for where you're going to cut and sew.
So many great ideas.
And
that's
what we did with that particular one. And then we also made a wreath. People are always looking for welcoming ways to have people come up to their door or their home. And so Allison also created a really cute wreath using the fabrics from the collection.
It is. It's fabulous.
We also noticed at International Quilt Market that the arrow motif is really popular still. And we were in the Michael Miller fabric booth and happened to see a great pillow by designer Marion McClellan. And it uses the Rustique collection from Emily Herrick. And we just looked at that and thought, oh my gosh, that's something that Quilts & More readers are going to love. And so we were able to acquire that project, and it's going to be in the winter issue. One of the fun things about this project is that it's foundation paper pieced. So it's a technique that some people may not be familiar with.
Right.
And so what we do in the issue is we talk about foundations, and that foundations can be permanent, such as like muslin or flannel. Those would be things that you don't take out after you sew it. Or foundations can be temporary, and that's things like paper, newsprint, vellum. And you kind of have to test and see which one is your personal preference, because it's different for everybody.
Absolutely.
So we kind of talk about that a little bit and encourage people to maybe do a little bit of a test block first, so that they find which kind of technique, whether it's permanent or temporary, and what kind of foundation they want to use.
Well, and the nice part about the way the pillow is presented as well is that we offer a download of that pattern, so that if people do want to use paper, they can print the pattern right onto that paper.
That's right. You can go to our website, and there's an opportunity to print the patterns on the kind of paper or kind of foundation that you want to use.
That makes it so you can just dive right in.
Yep. And another project that we have that we think is really fun in the issue is from our Ready, Set, Sew column. And that's a column we've had with Amy Barrickman of Indigo Junction. And it's really kind of concentrated on sewing with kids. And it doesn't always, I mean, certainly adults can make the project,
sure,
but we really wanted to look at projects that kids would like to make, and in this case, that kids would like to give. And so we'd had some sewing projects and thought this time, well, let's try some handwork. Again, we know that's really popular right now. So Amy designed a project that kids and adults can make, and it is a red mitten ornament. It's got a tree and star applique as well on the design, but it's got a little opening so you could tuck in some candy canes or some gift cards or something like that. But the majority of it is done by hand. Not all of it. There's a little bit of machine work, but primarily it's a handwork project, and we thought that would be a great way to introduce younger people to embroidery and hand stitching.
Great idea. Yeah, and it's a great way to even, like you said, give those little gifts at the season or use it as a wall decor. So now we've talked a lot about the what we call the and more in Quilts and More, but I bet there's a few quilts we haven't talked about yet.
We do. We have several quilts in the issue. We talked about the cover quilt on the plus side that Pat Bravo designed. We also have some great quilts by designer Ava Shire is one of them. And this quilt we're calling Simply Striking. It's a chevron motif, and we know that that's still really popular.
Mm-hmm.
This particular one is a vertical quilt, so the chevrons are going up and down, if you will. But it's a little different technique in that it's made with triangle squares. And
right,
they're large size pieces, so the Simply Striking name, I think, is very apt for this, because you look at it, we've got it photographed on a wall, and it's just a really striking, beautiful quilt.
It is.
And the fun thing about it is that Avis also did the machine quilting on this. So in addition to being the designer and the maker of the quilt, she also has recently started machine quilting. And so she also machine quilted the quilt.
And it's beautifully done, yes.
Another quilt we have is a quilt called Easy as 1, 2, 3, and it's from Modern Quilt Relish. It's a really fun quilt. It's kind of primary colors, so it's not a very large quilt. So we kind of think of it as a kid's quilt, probably.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When you first look at it, that's probably just because of the coloration and the size. That's kind of how we looked at it and
right.
thought about it. We did make a color option of this quilt that's in the issue, and it was done with the Moki Linen Solids from Moda.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a really, really nice quilt.
Yep.
And it's something that easily could be done in a weekend, I think.
Yes. Well, and just using those Moki linens really changes it from being, like you said, more of a kid's quilt to really a sophisticated project.
Yes. And again, it's one that's easily adaptable in size. So
mm-hmm.
if you want a bigger quilt and you like the design, but you're like, I really need a bigger quilt to fit my bed versus
right.
a kid's quilt, it's very easy to add additional blocks and add some sashing to it and make it a larger quilt.
Yes, it is. Now, there's one more that has a more of an unusual piecing method to it.
It's a one-patch design, but the way that it's put together, it kind of gives a ripple effect, which is actually the name of the quilt.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by Victoria Finlay Wolf, and many of the modern quilters will recognize Victoria. And it's just a really fun design, and we're so glad that she let us publish it in the magazine. It's kind of a chevron, but more of a ripple. It's got a softer side to it, and this is a little more of a horizontal quilt as far as the way that the ripples or the soft zigzags go across the
mm-hmm.
quilt.
Well, and it's just got that touch of curved piecing, so it's a great way to kind of learn that technique without it being such a strong curve that it's a little more difficult. It's got a nice smooth curve that...
It's the perfect introduction, I think, for people who haven't done that kind of piecing before. We do in the instructions suggest that people do pin. I know some people are not pinners when they
mm-hmm.
put their pieces together, but I think in this particular case, because of the curves and you do have some bias edges, that the pinning is really important in this particular
it sure
project.
Is.
It's also a great way to use those big bold prints that you're not sure what to do with. The piece itself is a pretty large piece, and so you're able to showcase some of those bigger fabrics, they're like, what do I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
And because the curve is really gentle, you don't necessarily see where those seam lines are. And so it's a really nice quilt for that kind of a project as well.
It is. It's great and graphic. So the issue goes on sale November 4th. So that's Quilts and More Winter 2014. And if people want to download that issue, is there a way that they can get the whole issue online?
There is. They can go to allpeoplequilt.com and then it's /getdigital. So it's allpeoplequilt.com/getdigital. And that's the opportunity if they prefer. Some people like to have them both ways. You know,
yes.
For some of us, we like to have it in our hands and look at it. And some people, they prefer to just download it and have it and take their iPad or their computer or whatever they have in their sewing area and use it that way. So,
well, and sometimes it's handy to have it on your iPad so that, you know, you can access it for information at a later time, too. You know, if you need
either
to.
When you're shopping, maybe. Yep. Maybe you're shopping for fabric because you found a project that you want to use and you're shopping. Or for me, I know when I'm traveling, sometimes it's just a fun way to look. I have some free time that I didn't expect, and it's a fun way, if you have the digital issue, to just spend some time. If you're sitting in an airport and you weren't expecting it, you didn't have your hand work like you usually do, that digital issue is really nice to have.
And it's also available then right after the magazine goes on sale, right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Well, thanks so much for telling us about the issue, Jody. It was great to have you here.
Thank you.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. If you're working on more than one quilt project at a time and have limited storage space, stash each ongoing project in a large white gift box. Label the ends, and stack the boxes in your closet.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. I'm here with Jill Mead, who is the editor of Superstar Quilts, which is one of our newest bookazines. So you'd find that on the newsstand, and it is available now, or you can check allpeoplequilt.com/getdigital to find your copy. But we had a great time with this issue, and I want Jill to tell us a little more about where we got some of our information and about the projects.
We're so excited about this, Linda. We worked in partnership with the International Quilt Study Center and Museum in Lincoln, Nebraska. It's part of University of Nebraska. And this incredible resource for quilts around the world partnered with us to present historical information and about the quilts that are shown in the publication.
That's awesome. Now, were they able to really tie in some facts about, like, the blocks and their history and their names?
They were. We worked with Carolyn Ducey, who is the curator of collections at the Quilt Study Center. And she was able to take our modern adaptations of particular blocks and give us a historical information about them. And we know any block is known by a number of names.
Absolutely.
And so she was able to fill us in on what those names are, how they traveled from one part of the country to another, which I think is an interesting little nugget of information.
Yes. Well, and I think, wasn't she also able to give us kind of some timelines on when that block first started appearing?
Absolutely.
That's great.
And it's surprising how long some of these have been around.
Absolutely. That is so awesome. Now, I know they're a great resource over in Nebraska. You said there's a museum there as well?
There is. And within the next year, it is absolutely doubling their floor space. At the current time, you can take a tour, and that's how I happened to think of this as tapping for a resource. I hadn't been to the museum for several years, and it was on my bucket list for this summer as for something to do. And so I took a day off and went with a friend, and we visited the Quilt Study Center, and I thought this would be a great resource to add more information to our Superstars bookazine.
That's fabulous. Now, the bookazine itself has how many projects in it?
It has 26 different projects.
Oh, my gosh. That's a lot of stars.
It is a lot of stars. It's starstruck.
Oh, perfect. So tell me a little bit more about the issue itself.
We start at the beginning of the issue with the introduction to star quilts. So if you've never made a star quilt, although star quilts are the most popular pattern out there.
That doesn't surprise me.
No, I think everybody loves stars. And Carolyn was able to back this up that, yes, stars through the ages have been a favorite motif. But at the beginning of the magazine, we start with simple stars, and we build on that throughout the publication. So if you've never done it, there are projects for you. If stars are your favorites, there are projects that will challenge the best of quilters.
We love to hear that. I know that, you know, that really is one of the things we want to provide information for people of all levels, because you're right. A lot of people love star quilts and have made a bunch of the blocks, but some other folks, you know, might not have tried it. They seem intimidating because they've got those triangles in them most of the time, and some folks avoid triangles.
They do. But we give them tips for how to be a successful star maker.
That's perfect.
The magazine is sprinkled with tips about how to set in seams successfully, pressing secrets, how to make a hanging sleeve. So we've really tried to pack a lot of information.
Oh, that's great. That's great. I know that those tips are always helpful for me, too. You know, when I'm trying something new, it's always nice to have kind of that guidance, like somebody sitting with you, giving you those things to avoid and those things to try.
That's right. And if you've never tried the technique before, say, for instance, freezer paper applique, we show you step-by-step photos of how to do it.
Oh, that's great. Now, applique, I would expect that most of this book is piecing.
It is.
Okay.
But we do have a few projects that have applique additions.
That's fabulous, because that's a nice combination to put in with the star piecing as well.
It does. It really enriches the look of the whole quilt.
All right. So do you want to talk a little bit and dive deeper into the projects themselves?
Be happy to. Wish Upon a Star is our first section, and in it, we start with a quilt that is one big star radiating out from there. And this particular star quilt is big enough. It is indeed a bed quilt.
It's fabulous. I do love how it radiates out, and yet the star pattern itself seems to really place nicely on top of the bed, too.
Right. And historically, this particular one is an adaptation of the King Solomon's temple setting.
And is that also, because it's got that radiation, it's more of a medallion quilt, right?
It is. And medallion quilts, we found out, were popular 1800 to 1850.
Wow. That's a long time to have that. And I think, am I right in saying that that setting style has even dated as early back as the 1600s?
Yes. Isn't that surprising?
Oh, my gosh. That's a long time to have a style of quilt, really to show where the roots of quilting came from.
And it looks just as fresh today as it might have at that time.
Exactly. So tell me more. Throughout the book, I see things like tricks of the trade and also some color options. So are we taking on that color idea?
We are. And we just like to show a little sample of if we swapped out the colors in this, what would happen. Sometimes you love the pattern, but the colors that's shown in just aren't your cup of tea or won't fit into the place where you have in mind to use it. So we show you what our incredible quilt tester, Laura Benke, has done with another colorway. So it just gives you an idea, shows you how different colors might work together.
Right. And I know that one of the things that people are sometimes intimidated by when they look at a project is, well, those aren't my colors, so maybe I can't make that project. But I love that having those color swap options might inspire somebody to try a different color combination or be able to hopefully build that ability to visualize how a quilt might look in a different color.
Yes.
So, and those tricks of the trade or tips, those are just little helpful ideas for that article that can kind of carry through?
They are. For instance, having an accurate quarter-inch seam is probably one of the basic building blocks, if you were, of quilt making.
Yes.
If you're off just a hair, that just magnifies throughout a quilt and nothing is going to fit together. So we talk about how you check that quarter-inch seam and how you can make adjustments on your sewing machine, on your sewing guides, to indeed make sure that that quarter inch is accurate.
Yeah, that accuracy, especially in some of these projects where you're, like you said, making multiple blocks or doing multiple things, it can really become a big problem at the end of your quilt that things can be off significantly.
Yes, and we all wonder why.
Yes. Yes, and that's a big trick. I'm excited to have that tip there to help people along because I think really that will help them become better quilters. And then we've got some cute little, I call them ornaments, but I don't suppose it'd have to be for the holidays. They could be for any time of year.
They could be any time of year. Ornaments, they could be package tie-ins, they could be almost, they're 3.5-inch square, so they could be a small coaster. But we're excited about these because we give step-by-step photographs of how to do foundation paper piecing.
An intimidating thing for some people.
It is. It's like take everything you know and flip it 180 degrees. You're
exactly.
Working on the opposite side of the paper. So right. It's tricky.
Yes, yes it is. But yeah, those really are helpful, and it shows with the paper in there so you can see what's going on with every step. I love that.
Thing I love about foundation paper piecing is the accuracy.
Right, and with stars this small, you want to make sure they're perfect.
Yes, you do.
So that's helpful. Now, stargazing is another amazing kind of working out from the center medallion style of quilt, but it's got a few extra elements to it.
It does. This particular quilt is known by a number of names. Sawtooth star, variable star, and double star are just a few of the names of it. And it's a very popular style used through the ages. It's an eight-pointed star. This has an Irish chain variation.
That's wonderful. It pulls in some unusual block design and also some beautiful quilting.
Yes, it really does.
And aren't those flying geese, too?
They are flying geese.
I love mixing that up with the Irish chain style and the stars and the flying geese. It really makes a spectacular piece.
It does. This particular story gives you information in photographs and words about how to use a specialty ruler to make flying geese.
That's great, because that's another thing. I think people sometimes see those rulers and think, well, I don't know how to use them. So to have that information there is really helpful.
And in case you lose the instructions that came with the ruler, it's right here for you.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a few minutes with more about Superstar Quilts from Jill Meade.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
This quilting tip brought to you by Moda Fabrics. Visit modafabrics.com or your local quilt shop to see the latest fabric collections. Once fabric pieces have been pressed, let them cool in place before moving them. It prevents distortion of bias edges.
Make the most of your sewing machine by watching Machine Minute videos brought to you by Baby Lock. Learn about popular topics like tension troubles, stitch length, needles, buttonholes, zipper basics, and more. Watch these videos at allpeoplequilt.com/videos.
Take an ultimate shop hop tour of 11 top quilt shops. You'll find them all in the current issue of Quilt Sampler, available now at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
Hi, and welcome back. I'm back with Jill Meade, and we're going to talk more about the stars, not celebrities, but the quilts and projects we have in Superstar Quilts, which is our newest bookazine, on sale now.
Linda, this magazine has projects of all sizes, from bed quilts down to small things like pillows. Shooting stars, a trio of pillows that I think are just dynamite. They're made out of solids, which are so popular right now. This particular one reminds me of the great state of Texas, the Lone Star State.
It does.
It's actually known by either five-pointed star, union star, and star of the west.
And it is your traditional five-pointed star, which is kind of interesting because we don't see that as often in star quilts.
Kind of hard to piece.
Yes, yes.
So this one is applique.
And that's perfect. Now, do we tell them more about how to applique?
We do indeed. We give them information that will help them successfully machine applique. I think it's interesting to note that this pattern has been around for a long time, and it was first published by the Ladies Art Company of St. Louis in about 1895.
That's amazing. Stars really do date back quite a ways.
They do. And sometimes we think of styles of quilt being strictly regional. And it's true, they may have started in one part of the country, but they were sent by mail, although it took a while in those days, to family members in another part of the country. So we'll see the same pattern appearing in different places.
Well, and as people migrated west, too, I'm sure they brought those patterns with them. So something that might have been, you know, an East Coast Pennsylvania thing, once it came across, got shared in Oregon with all the women there.
It did.
So things traveled along the country that way. So we've got some more projects in the issue that talk a little more about multiple stars.
multiple stars. We have the first quilt project in the multiple. We're dealing with multiple stars. It's a fabulous red, white, and blue star-struck bed quilt.
Love it.
Starts with a pinwheel in the center, radiates out from there. It's just a dynamite quilt.
And it's a little more of a complicated block, but I don't think it's intimidating, too intimidating, because it's mostly half-square triangles.
It is. You break it down into its little components, and you find out beyond the pinwheel, it is half-square triangles. Once you get that block under your belt, you're going to be making it over and over and over again. Have enough for a bed-size quilt.
So that gives you a lot of practice, too, making, you know, your better half-square triangles and making that block. I love projects that let me get a little better with some skills.
Yes. We all get better as we practice.
That's right.
Right.
And next we've got a quilt called Jetam. And now that's a very traditional block, but it's not done in the traditional manner in this project.
Right. It's an eight-pointed star that we show you how to piece. Those little diamond pieces that make up the eight-pointed star are sometimes kind of tricky to put together. So we give you step-by-step instructions of how to put it together. Once the star is created, it's placed on a background block and then edge-stitched in place.
Perfect. So I get the experience of doing the eight-pointed star in that Lemoine star diamond template way, but I don't have to put in those set-in seams for this one.
Those inset seams are really tricky.
That's helpful because I like to try that, but I don't want to get over my head.
Right. So it's an applique version of that very traditional black.
Now, we were talking about this quilt because this is one of those quilts that is more of a challenging design. And what I understand is that was kind of a way for quilters to show off, wasn't it?
It was a way for them to show off. And this is a challenging pattern. We've taken a little bit of the challenge out because we have stitched it to the foundation. But these challenging patterns that you'll see throughout the book were a way that quilters indeed could display their incredible talents.
I love that. I love that they found ways to really show off their, like I said, that's a skill that they were building. And
yes.
Back in the day of 1820, when this pattern, this Lemoine star, was first kind of hitting the scene, I like that that was, you know, that was their way of presenting their skills at county fairs, at quilting bees, at all of those things.
Yes.
So interesting. Now, these magic stars that are just a fun burst of color in this issue, they're just fabulous. This runner is just fabulous. Tell me more about it.
This runner is put together in sort of an atypical way. These are eight-pointed stars, and they are what are called the touching stars. The star points actually touch each other. And this is a style where a dynamic secondary pattern is created when they're put together. This one also, none of the star points are the same colors. These are all done in polka dots, so it's just a happy-looking table runner.
That's fabulous. And then with picks from the past, we've got a really intriguing vertical strip quilt.
We do. Rows and rows of these beautiful eight-pointed star variations are separated by striped panels of fabric, creating just a very interesting look. The outside is rimmed with half-square triangles.
And these stars have a little bit of a pinwheel twist to them, the way they're pieced. Even though they look like an eight-pointed star, they're a slightly different variation of them.
They are.
I love that we get so many variations in this issue. There are, you know, there might be a bunch of eight-pointed stars, but they're all put together a little different and give you a slightly different look. As in the Salute to Stars.
Another eight-pointed star, but it has an Irish chain variation twist to it. It's a cute little table runner, one that you can have finished in a shorter period of time, but enjoy throughout the year.
That's perfect. And this one also offers that hanging quilt for display, just in case that's something that you decide you want to put on the wall instead.
Yes. Good for use on any size quilt.
Now, stars and strings. String quilts are hugely popular right now. So this quilt really intrigues me.
String quilts really have their beginning in the 1930s when every little scrap of leftover fabric was put to good use. And this is a great way to show off all those wonderful little strips.
So in this case, since we don't have to quite conserve our fabric as much as they used to, we're doing strip piecing to make it easier, right?
We are.
Because I know in the past, foundation piecing was often used for string quilts.
Yes.
So this makes it a lot easier and quicker to get done.
It does. There's a little bit of extra bonus information in here about cotton feed sacks. They were very clever, clever marketing technique used with feed sacks. A woman would often sway her husband's decision about what to buy, whether it was flour, grain, seed, salt, sugar, based on her needs for, on her likes for particular prints.
That's so funny. I love that. I love that they would send their husbands to the store to get something specific, just to, so that they could make a dress or make a quilt or make things match.
And wise merchants often suggested that four sacks were needed for a quilt top and two for a dress.
That's perfect. That's perfect. So now we get into some of the more intricate quilts in the book. Misty Stars is one of my probably favorites in this issue just because of the way it comes together.
Oh, it's a beautiful quilt. And it is our CoverGirl quilt. There are two different, well, actually, I'm looking at it, there are three different stars in this one that make up the pattern. And this quilt simply sparkles.
It does. And it's got a beautiful curved piecing element to it that isn't curved. It just looks that way. So very intricate. Now, Nightlight is a very different quilt.
It is a very different quilt. Popular combination of blue and cream prints are used in this. And we have kind of wonky looking stars in this. Some of them are very even in their points, and others have a variety of shapes in the points.
I love the mix in that one. Now, in late bloomers, we have applique mixed in with the piecing.
Yes. This is an incredible quilt. A huge star marks the center, but within that, there are eight-pointed stars and pinwheel blocks. The applique, particularly the turkey red and green that we often see in older quilts, was popular in Pennsylvania German quilts 1850 to 1870. So that's the historical information about that particular type of applique.
That's fabulous. Now, Limeade is a very bright, colorful, two-color quilt, which really, really does sparkle.
It does. And I think two-color quilts are gaining so much popularity again. This one is just dynamite. This is an octagonal block, and it's surrounded by triangles. And it's set together with a secondary block that are eight-pointed stars. Octagons were first popular in England, and the style came to the U.S. in the early 1800s.
That's
with
amazing.
Immigrants.
That's amazing. Now we get into more of some of the kind of intriguing quilts that we've let you play a little bit with. So with Stars on Display, you've offered some options of the blocks you could swap in.
We do have options. There's one given and shown in the quilt that's a beautiful wall hanging, but then we give three additional star blocks that can be mixed, matched, traded. You can really create your own block of the month with this by mixing and matching the star patterns.
It's such a creative option. I love that those extra blocks offer some variation. And then in Floating Stars, there's this amazing antique-looking two-color quilt that just really radiates out from the center.
No star book would be complete without a quilt like this. It's known by a number of names: Rising Star, Blazing Star, Bethlehem Star, and so forth. It's a stunner, a huge multi-piece star at the center with motifs at each corner.
But again, we make it easy in the piecing. It is strip pieced, which makes it so much easier than it used to be.
Oh my goodness. If that were to be done one piece at a time, it would be a lifetime project for me.
That's a lifetime project, all right. And then we wrap up with Light the Way.
A stunning quilt. Very intricate. It will challenge most quilters. It's done with paper piecing and with regular piecing. It features not only a mariner's compass style block, but a pineapple block variation as well.
Well, and it even uses some very fussy cutting to make those triangles and diamonds really look amazingly kaleidoscope-esque.
And a beautiful border print is used in this, so it adds to the look of complexity.
It is gorgeous. Well, thanks so much, Jill, for telling us all about Superstar Quilts. Remember, Superstar Quilts is on sale now on newsstands near you, or you can go to allpeoplequilt.com/getdigital and download it there. So thanks so much for joining us today. Come back next week to hear Pat Sloan chat with some great quilting guests. Have a great week.
Thanks for being here on American Patchwork and Quilting. It's a radio show podcast. You can go to allpeoplequilt.com and listen to all of our past shows. This has been brought to you by the Moda Bake Shop, where you can find all kinds of free patterns and fun things to do with your fabric and your stash. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You can visit me at patsloan.com, and you can visit American Patchwork and Quilting magazine at allpeoplequilt.com. We'll see you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.